Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's awesome, isn't it? I mean, can you get your mind around space? That's just a little sample of space, the universe taken from the Hubble telescope. Can you comprehend it? The immensity of it? The power that's contained within it, the billions of galaxies that span distances that our minds can't even comprehend, the sheer beauty of it, the unimaginable complexity, the wonder of it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Lord speaks, he gives a word, and the whole created order is brought into being. On this Christmas Eve, try if you can to comprehend it. The power, if you've ever been caught in a severe thunder or lightning storm when you're flying, it's just like this compared to the power in the solar system and the universe. The power, the might, the creativity, the splendour. But the power, the might, the splendour of the one who speaks and brings all the worlds into existence. He is the Lord God. Self-sufficient, he needs nothing, he is total love. There is harmony, complete harmony and unity within the Holy Godhead, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. The Lord is awesome. God the Holy Spirit gave an insight into the wonder of the throne room of God to the Apostle Paul, an old man at that stage in exile on the island of Patmos. And this is the vision that John got of the throne room of our great God. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I'd first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here and I'll show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. Try and comprehend this in your mind. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. And also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. So is that all clear? You see that very easily in your mind? It is nigh on impossible to conceive of what is being described there. What's being described is the throne room of God. And even with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it's like words just fail. The Apostle John. Because it's describing the throne room of the transcendent one. When you think of transcendent, think of the one beyond. When you think of holy God, the word holy has the sense of other. So when you hear a description like that, does God seem distant from you? I mean, on Christmas Eve, being adventurous Aussies, do you want to chance your arm and just approach him any way you want to? How do you reckon you'd go? If we can't get near the physical sun just in our solar system, did you capture that in the first video? Just fantastic shots. I'm not even sure you can call it a surface of the sun, just the lava and flames coming out. If we can't get within, what's the good Aussie word, kiwi of it, how can we come near the Creator who made the sun? How? The living God, the Creator of heaven and earth, he rules, he has unmatched power. But the living God is much, much more than unmatched power. Can you imagine that if the living God was only unrivaled power, how horrifying it would be for us as creatures. You ever thought about that? If he was just unrivaled, unmatched power, it would be horrifying. But he's more than power. God is love. Love is his very essence. And his heart's desire is for every person to experience his love and then to reflect his love to all of those around. And so the one who dwells in unapproachable light, he comes. You go, really? There'll be many here that have been through Christmases, what the average age is, what, 18, so you've been through, let's say 10. Well, maybe there's a few older. Don't ever let the wonder of Christmas just sort of quickly pass you by. Camp on it. Let it infiltrate your heart and your mind. The infinite God, the infinite Spirit God, does something that I think truly boggles our minds. The second person of the Holy Trinity, God the Son, comes and takes on human flesh. Now remember, this is the God who is other. This is the transcendent one. That God. That God. He comes. And he just doesn't come to pay a visit. He actually becomes like us. He becomes like us in every way. Except he's sinless. So pause and ask yourself, what would motivate such a God? The transcendent, holy, other, beyond God. What would motivate such a God to come? Why would he do it? I want you to wrestle with those questions and not to just quickly pass over them. The gospel writer Matthew tells us that the birth of Jesus the Messiah simply means the King, the Anointed One. It actually happened to fulfill what God had said through the prophet Isaiah yonks ago. And so in our reading, Matthew 1:23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And he's quoting from Isaiah chapter 7. God comes. God himself comes. He takes on human flesh. And he comes to fulfill a word that was spoken in the 8th century BC over 700 years before it actually took place. You see, he speaks. He spoke to the prophet Isaiah. He speaks, his word is fulfilled, his word never, ever fails. So, let's have a quick think about Mary and Joseph. They come from this little hick town of Nazareth, so here's the Sea of Galilee, sort of biblical towns of Capernaum and Bethsaida up here in the north, and it's heading out in a southwest direction. I want you to imagine a young teenage girl, Mary. I want you to imagine, if we can, perhaps a year before she gets engaged to her heartthrob, young Joseph the carpenter. So she's going to head up to Jerusalem with her girlfriends for a weekend, and like a good mum, Mary's mum says to her, "Honey, why don't you wear that lovely t-shirt? You know, the one which was from I'm from Nazareth." I reckon little Mary, young Mary, would say. She goes, "Mum, no way. You want me to be laughed at all weekend? I'm wearing the white, plain white t-shirt." Let me tell you, Nazareth was one hick town. And the Christian writer Ravi Zacharias expresses the reality of what was happening in these words. Nazareth was not the zip code you bragged about. Jesus' father was a carpenter and not his biological father. His mother was the bearer of that which was conceived by the Holy Spirit, a one-time happening to explain a one-time happening. Why we're here on earth in the first place. This is the event that explains all other events. the sunlight shining truth upon a dark world. But we're still left with those questions, aren't we? What would motivate the transcendent God to do such a thing? Why do it? And the angel of the Lord informs us, as he informed young Joseph, with the answer. It's in verse 20 of our reading. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And here's the reason, let's say it together, because he will save his people from their sins." You remember when I said that God is so much more than raw power? He's love. And it is in love that Jesus comes. It's love incarnate. You've been enjoying the items tonight. Oh, well, in that beautiful song, Noel, I wonder if you remember the words. Love incarnate, love divine, the story of amazing love, the light of the world given for us. Son of God, Son of Man, there before the world began, born to suffer, born to save. Friends, the transcendent God is not distant. He didn't just go and withdraw from a very broken world. Unlike US presidents, when their term is finished, he didn't sort of go around on a speaking tour giving some detached theoretical little group of lectures on the problem, sin and suffering and evil in the world. He didn't do that. He came himself right into the middle of our mess. Matthew doesn't spend any time theorizing about how did this miraculous conception take place by the Holy Spirit. He just simply puts it out there. He just goes, this is a historical fact. God has come, he has taken on human flesh, and he's now with his people. He is the only one, the God-man, who can actually save people from their sins. Who is he? He's Jesus. The word literally means God saves. Who is he? He's Emmanuel, God with us. Aren't they glorious truths? Jesus, God saves, Emmanuel, God with us. He's the only one who can save because he's fully God and he's fully man. He's sinless. And that unbroken line of the descent of sin was interrupted when Jesus came. He was the only one who could die in our place for our sin as the perfect sacrifice. And friends, on this Christmas Eve, let me say, there is no other way. There can be no other way to solve the problem which impacts everyone, and that's the problem of sin. And of course, sin and evil and suffering, they're still very much in the world, and we will continue to see it in the world until Christ comes back in the glory of his second coming. But on a personal level, the cross and the resurrection makes it possible for anyone, in fact, makes it possible for everyone, to actually have an intimate relationship with their Creator. And that intimate relationship, whether we try and disguise it, it's actually what everybody longs for. Because whether it's the image of God is broken, and it is, and diminished in us, we're created in the image of God and we're created to be in relationship with our Creator, the one who's love. So yeah, he is transcendent. He is other. And not only does he seem distant, perhaps when you read that passage from Revelation 4, the reality is God is actually cut off from those who actually refuse to bow their knee and worship him. But God has done everything. He's done everything for me, for you indeed, for the whole world, so that anyone, so that everyone can actually experience intimacy with him. God has come. Jesus has come. And his promise is to come to who? Me, you, each person who turns to him, who bows the knee before him in wholehearted worship and trust. How does he come? He comes to us by his Spirit. the Holy Spirit, often referred to as the Spirit of Christ. And so that grand old carol that we've already sung, O Little Town of Bethlehem, it summarizes this truth beautifully in these words. O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. I wonder if this Christmas, specifically this Christmas Eve, do you need a fresh perspective on the living God? Do you need it? He is the infinite God. He is the one who reigns on high. He is the one whose throne is surrounded by what looks like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. Sort of gives the image of being not approachable, doesn't it? This God, the only God, has come. And he's come for you and you. Indeed, he's come for everyone. Because he desires deeply for us to be in intimate communion. My question is, on this Christmas Eve, will you genuinely open your heart to this God, the only God, this Christmas? Who could have imagined this? Infant and the infinite, Son of God, so wonderful, heaven's perfect miracle, glory in the highest, glory in the highest, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Jesus, Lord of everything, glory in the highest. Born to die, born to save, born to take our sin away. Light and life to all he brings. With the angels let us sing. Come and worship, worship Christ, the newborn God.